Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, September 20th, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Exposing Limiting Beliefs That Keep You Stuck in Fear, with my guest, Gladys Anderson, life coach, marriage and family therapist, and empowerment specialist. Today's episode is made possible by the Ideal Client Action Guide, the business tool that helps you discover exactly the right client who needs, wants, and is desperately looking for your service or product. Learn more at www.idealclientactionguide.com. I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us today. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone lines, you just need to press pound 1 to let me know you have a question or a comment. If you're over there in the chat room, hi there, folks in the chat room, just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. I want to remind you that the show is recorded live, so that means anything can happen when we're on the air. Lost signals is the most common thing that happens. And so if your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything, because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it. My show page, blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, has a link to follow me on Twitter, to become a fan on Facebook. But most important, you may add yourself as a friend of my show. That would be really great. For those of you who don't know me, I am Flora Brown, author, coach, and inspirational speaker. I invite you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com. Where you can sign up for life coaching if you're ready to make that U-turn, Y-O-U, turn in your life. I'm also now booking personal appearances for 2011. So if you want me to appear in person to motivate, train, or inspire your group, your staff, or an event, submit a request over on my website. There's a Book Flora tab at the top of the page. You may go there, or you could just email me directly at flora@florabrown.com. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. In order to get at that goal, each week I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, all of those things that contribute to lasting happiness. Today, my guest is Gladys Anderson. Hi, Gladys.
Hello, Flora. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for asking me. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Thank you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode. But first, I'd like to tell the listeners a bit about you, Gladys. Is that okay?
Sure. Go right ahead.
Okay. Gladys M. Anderson is a certified life coach, a certified group coach, marriage and family therapist, and empowerment specialist. She helps nurses, teachers, social workers, therapists, and other caregiving women to set limits so that they have more time, more joy, and more energy for self-care. Gladys teaches caregiving women how to live authentically with enthusiasm, energy, passion, and self-confidence. She writes a blog, a newsletter, and has authored numerous articles. She is also the author of the soon-to-be-published book, Live, Laugh, Love, A Guide to Discover Your Authentic Self. It is my great pleasure to welcome to the show Gladys Anderson. Yay!
Well, thank you so much for that introduction, Flora. I am so glad to be here and excited to share with you and your listeners today.
Thank you. This topic is very near and dear to my heart because it seems that no matter how positive we are and how happy our lives are clipping along, I imagine that we all at times have beliefs that limit us or sabotage our success.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what is a limiting belief.
Okay, I'm glad to do so, Flora. You know, you're absolutely right. You know, we can be going along our lives thinking we're doing okay and not realize that there are some limiting beliefs that are kind of keeping us stuck. And, you know, a limiting belief is really an internal message.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of message that we have received from throughout our lives, from our family, from our cultural groups, from religion, from society, from the world at large.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't always recognize that we have these messages or that we're in turn having them recur in our thought process. So that is what kind of hinders us from moving forward sometimes or staying stuck. It's like a, you know, a script that has been written by somebody else. And we've internalized that, and it just plays out over and over in our heads until it becomes a very strong belief we have about how we should be living our lives, or how we should react or respond in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. Could you give us some examples of some of the most common limiting beliefs that probably a lot of us have?
Absolutely. You know, and again, I think we just don't realize that they are limiting beliefs because it's such a part of us. For example, the limiting belief that, I really shouldn't ask for help from people. You know, I can do this myself. I should be strong. You know, and that's a belief that is rooted in a message that we have received somewhere along the way that says, well, you can't trust anyone to help you. And so what happens, you start to live your life around that belief, and it shows up in how you are able to trust people or not trust people in your life. You will not always ask for help when you need it because you think, I have to be strong. And, you know, I'm self-sufficient. I can take care of this. And the most common one I hear a lot from a lot of women is this, that, well, if I don't do it, who's going to do it? But you see, it goes back to that message that you've internalized, that you have to be strong and you can't ask for help. So it translates into your life that, well, I can do it better than they can, or it'll take too much time for me to explain how to do it. But you don't realize you're really operating out of a limited belief.
That leads to that fear.
Exactly.
What's interesting about limiting beliefs is, as you pointed out, they started as external messages that were coming at us from probably people who had very good intentions, like our parents and our teachers and our leaders, perhaps, to help us grow up, so they thought. Because when you said, I shouldn't ask for help, I thought about the expression that many parents tell their girls and boys, be a big boy, be a big girl, and encourage you to stand up and take care of yourself. Well, that's all well and good up to a point, but as you say, if those messages get ingrained till they become a belief that we're the only ones who can do something right,
then we
really sabotage our success because we can only go so far with that belief. How does that limiting belief result in fear? Let's talk about that a little bit more because that's an interesting turn. I mean, it starts off as a good thing that our parents are trying to do. They think they're helping us, and then it becomes this message recurring. How does it move into fear?
Okay. That's a very good question because, you see, what happens once you have that belief, that message is sent to you, you have internalized, excuse me, the message.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a strong belief within you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens, and you kind of hit on it a little earlier, Flora, when you said how it limits you.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, say, for instance, you have the limited belief that you have to be strong or
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I can't ask for help. And so here's what happens. You began to live, respond, and act in every area of your life with that, based on that belief.
Mm-hmm.
And so really where the fear comes in is your response when that belief shows up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fear is an emotional response to a perceived threat.
Mm-hmm.
So you think that something is going to happen. It's like, biologically speaking, it's when your brain begins to activate the chemicals that are released into your bloodstream that causes
mm-hmm.
like that rapid heartbeat beat.
Mm-hmm.
Your muscles tighten up. That feeling you get when you're afraid of something. Just
mm-hmm.
imagine if you were home all alone and you're having a comfortable evening, you're watching TV, and it's pretty quiet, and then all of a sudden, you hear this noise.
Hmm.
The front door maybe is like thrown open.
Hmm.
So what happens? Your breathing speeds up. Your heart begins to race. You tense up.
Mm-hmm.
But a split second later, you come to realize that it was only the wind blowing
mm-hmm.
the door.
Mm-hmm.
But you have responded as though you were in danger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, your body has initiated that fight or flight response.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in reality, there wasn't any danger at all,
hmm.
you see.
But your body didn't know that it suffered all the same.
Exactly. And so when you have these limiting beliefs, you will respond in situations as though you're in that fight or flight response.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine if you had that kind of intensity, the fast breathing, the heart racing, and the sweaty palms, every
mm-hmm.
time you had to speak in front of an audience, or
mm-hmm.
every time you needed to ask for help,
mm-hmm.
or every time you made a mistake, and you had that intense feeling. And that's how you end up being stuck in fear by those limiting beliefs.
You know what? As you were talking, not only are you stuck as far as progress towards your goals, but your body must undergo damage.
Exactly.
If you are reacting with the rapid heartbeat, the sweaty palms, I mean, you're doing actual damage to your body over time,
mm-hmm.
and that has got to be connected to heart attacks, strokes, and other kinds of things
heart attacks,
down the line that happen
strokes,
to us.
Ulcers, depression,
mm.
all kinds of physical manifestations.
Ooh.
You see. And,
well,
of course, you know, people don't always realize it's like a chain reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the internalized message, you have the belief, and then you respond accordingly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Based on what your belief is, limiting belief is.
Hmm. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting in business, you and I are both in business, and there are many business people who have limiting beliefs surrounding money, for example. And
yes.
If you have a belief that that came from wherever it started back in Charlotte, that money is evil,
mm-hmm.
then that's a belief that's going to really sabotage your efforts to grow your business, to become successful, because who wants to be evil? And if you believe that money is evil and that rich people are evil, then you're going to really have a conflict, constant conflict going with yourself, trying to earn money, trying to build your wealth, and yet having this belief. So
exactly.
That puts you in kind of a what I think of as a push-pull situation. You're trying to move forward, But that belief is just blocking you because it won't let you go any further.
Yes,
so it's important
absolutely.
To discover what these are. How do we discover what our limiting beliefs are? How do we get at that?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that question because, you know, that's a very common question and a legitimate question. You may not know you have limiting beliefs, mm-hmm. but when you respond over time, consistently, in pretty much the same way to situations and circumstances in your life, mm-hmm. then you can begin to ask yourself some questions. Okay, for instance, all right, and I'll just go back to that limiting belief that we talked about, you shouldn't ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Think about when that comes up for you, the instances where you may need to ask for help,
mm-hmm.
but you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things you might ask yourself is, okay, has there ever been a time when I did ask for help?
Mm-hmm.
How did I feel when I asked for that help? Did I get what I wanted? You know? Mm-hmm. What feelings, emotionalities that did you experience? For instance, if my heart starts to beat fast when I think about asking somebody to help me do something, or, you know, I'm struggling trying to figure out something and knowing I really deep on a deep level that I could maybe pick up the phone and call somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I might do a little bit of research, but I continue to struggle on my own,
mm-hmm.
by myself, because I think I have to do it and I can't ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Begin to notice what feelings that brings up for you. What do you feel in your body?
Mm-hmm.
What emotional connection can you make to that feeling?
Mm.
And then you wonder, okay, so that's a message somewhere. Where did it come from?
Mm.
Did I hear that when I was 6 years old, 10 years old? You really have to dig deep and question your reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're operating out of limiting beliefs, you have a false a picture of what your reality is.
Mm.
You are not that. You are not the limiting belief.
No.
That's not who you are.
Mm.
You see, it's sort of like if you've ever gone to a county fair or a carnival where they have those mirrors that
yes.
the distortion that shows you
right,
all distorted.
Right. Yes.
So you look in that mirror, you may see yourself huge, or you may see yourself pencil thin.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, I like that one too.
But we know it's still an illusion.
But it is an illusion. It's not your reality, and you know that.
Yeah.
But you're seeing through that distorted lens.
Mm.
So that's what happens with that when you have a limited belief.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at your reality through a totally distorted lens. And I love what Byron Katie says in her book, Loving What Is. I love that book. It really it really brings home the whole concept of reality.
Right, right.
And one of the things she says that the only time we suffer is when we believe a thought that argues with what is or what is reality.
Right, right.
And I thought, wow, that sums it up.
Well, you know, that is such a profound thought. I'm reading her book right now, too.
Oh, maybe. Really? We have to talk about it.
And, I mean, if you really think about that, that is such a profound thing, and that is here we have reality. Let's say it's raining.
Mm-hmm.
And to make it really simple, take it out of the emotional relationship area perhaps, but it's raining and I'm sitting here looking at it and fighting against the thought of, you know, it shouldn't be raining and trying,
exactly.
Why is it raining? It's ruining my plans and so forth. But the bottom line is I am fighting against something that just is. It's raining, and it's a reality of raining.
It is what it is. Exactly.
Anything else about it is what I make up, the story I make up about it.
Absolutely.
And that is so profound. If we really just thought about our upset typically is fighting against something that just is, whether it's other people, events, and so forth. The big question all of us want to know, I'm sure, is what can we do to change these limiting beliefs? I mean, you touched on one of them, and that is when you mentioned Byron Katie's book, when you recognize that what is, it can begin to help you change your limiting belief. I would imagine that when you realize that your belief about the situation and the reality of the situation are two different things.
Exactly.
So what are some other things we can do to change these limiting beliefs?
Exactly. Well, you know, going back to the, you know, that quote I just said about from Byron Katie, you know, I really take a lot of stock in that.
Mm-hmm.
And recognize that you're having these stressful thoughts.
Mm.
And most of us can recognize when something is stressful.
Yeah.
And so it's like peeling back the layers, say, if you will. Say an onion. You're peeling away till you get to the core.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at what's the reality in this situation? You know, is this really true about me or about this other person or situation in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Has it always been that way? And one of the things when I talk with people sometimes and they are always saying, always, well, it always happens that way. It never happens that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or I never get what I want. Well, nothing is that concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really that it never happens or that it always happens? And it comes right down to, I think, becoming more self-aware of what your thoughts are and how you are responding to those thoughts. Because we are what we think. So if you think about how your thoughts, you know, like that, you wake up one day and it's raining. Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? What can you do about that? Nothing.
Enjoy the rain.
Exactly. So it's a matter of reframing, if you will.
Okay.
Your thoughts.
Okay.
That's the big starting point, I think.
Okay.
Because once you start to do that, become more aware of what you're really feeling and thinking, then you're in a better position to be able to make some changes that you want.
That brings me to the idea that you work with clients all the time because you have not only your life coach, but you work with marriage and family. That's a specialty. And then you also work with empowerment. For listeners who might want to get in touch with you to learn more about how your service can help them, how's the best way to reach you?
Well, my website is www.coachforyourdreams.com.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is dream plural or singular? Dream?
Plural. Dream,
plural. Okay.
Excuse me. It's dreams.
Okay. Coachforyourdreams.com.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And I know you have a free special report that people can get and download. Tell us about that report and how we can go about getting it.
Absolutely. My special report is create breathing space in your hectic life. Creating strong boundaries create breathing space in your hectic life. And that kind of ties in with a little bit of what we're talking about today because a lot of times some of the limiting beliefs affect how we establish boundaries with people.
Mm-hmm.
What we allow other people to say, do, and do to us.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that really stems from a limiting belief. Well, if you believe that you're not good enough, you're going to take some crap from people.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you have to have some pretty strong boundaries for that not to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you have to be aware first.
Right, okay.
That these things are occurring in your life.
Now, will we get the special report over on this website, CoachYourDreams.com?
Yes, there's a sign-up box there that you just you put your primary email address in and your name, just first name only. You don't have to do a whole lot. And click on that, and you can immediately get the report. It'll come to you within a matter of minutes.
Oh, great. So this let's talk a bit about this breathing space and the boundaries, because these things are so connected. If you have a limiting belief and the fear, then chances are you're going to have some unrealistic boundaries, or let's say boundaries that aren't helpful for you or healthy for you.
Absolutely.
Can you give us some examples of how these tie in together? You know, let's say you gave the example of I'm not good enough as a limiting belief, which probably makes people fearful of stepping out on their own because they don't feel they deserve good, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
How does that translate then into a boundary that they need to set and haven't set?
Okay, well, that's really a very good question because it does tie in. All of this, all of my work ties in. You know, the boundaries, the limiting beliefs, and how we self-sabotage ourselves. And so if you believe, say, for instance, you're not good enough. That's a limiting belief for you. How that will play out in setting your boundaries, you'll have a hard time saying no to people. You know?
Okay.
You will, you don't want to create waves, so to speak. You don't want any confrontation. So in turn, what you're doing is you're suppressing your emotions. You're not being assertive. You're not standing up for yourself. And a lot of times, we'll just let other people make decisions for you. Mm-hmm. And not always decisions that are best for you.
No, it's going to be best for them.
Exactly. And one of the things I say to my clients sometimes when they're struggling with this being able to say no, you ask yourself these questions. Is it good for me? Is it good for them? And do I want to do it? And if your answer to the first question is it good for me? Then maybe you want to go ahead and do it. But if it's not good for you, if it's good for the other person, that's because they want it, not because you want it. So then your answer should be no.
And, you know, I can imagine some people struggling with this. Of the, especially some of the religious upbringing we've had where we've been trained or we thought that it meant you should sacrifice yourself to give to others, to be a missionary, and I don't mean necessarily a bona fide missionary, but a missionary in behavior in terms of helping other people before you help yourself.
Absolutely.
How do you help people reconcile that upbringing they've had in that regard?
You know, that's one of the reasons, you know, I work with people who are caregivers, like therapists and nurses and teachers and coaches. And for most women, most women are caregiving in some, have a caregiving role in some way in our lives.
Right.
And so you're right. Whether it may have been religion, it may have been our families, but we have kind of been programmed, if you will, to take care of other people before taking care of ourselves. And so you almost have to relearn that it's okay to take care of yourself first. Because if you don't take care of yourself first, you're not going to have the energy, the will, or the desire to take care of anybody else.
Right, right.
And so you end up sometimes end up resentful, frustrated, and that's because you haven't taken care of yourself.
Right, right.
First.
And I think some people who haven't done this before, when they first hear this, I think they fear that the world's going to fall apart, that the people around them are going to stop loving them or reject them or something. There's fear because they haven't done it before and they have a, like you say, this misguided idea. that somehow or another others should come first instead of the other way around. You really can't take care of somebody.
No. I mean, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, to me. But think about the, I always use this example, which helps people a little bit, about the airline. When you get on the airline and they're giving those instructions at the
Absolutely.
Very beginning, they always tell you that in the unlikely event, I love that they say unlikely, unlikely event of the loss in cabin pressure, put the oxygen mask on yourself first. And then help the other person in your party, because
mm-hmm.
if you aren't able to get your own oxygen and take care of yourself, you're absolutely in no position to help the other person.
Absolutely.
So I always think about that when it comes to life, that you take care of self first. I think people mix up self-care with selfish. You know, we've gotten it mixed up, and it's not the same thing.
You know, I call that fishing for self. Just turn it around. It's not
okay.
about being selfish.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's selfless, if anything, to
mm-hmm.
take care of you first before you are able to take care of anyone else. And again, that ties back into those limiting beliefs, that fear,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of times it's fear of rejection.
Right.
That we don't always stand up for ourselves. So we want people to like us and love
mm-hmm.
us and pat us on the back and tell us how great we are. When in reality, you have to believe that about yourself first.
Right, right, right. And I encourage anybody who's listening who hasn't tried to stand up for themselves to try it, because as soon as you begin to do that, number one, you're going to get such a rush of energy and confidence in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to feel good.
Yes.
And the people around you are going to have more respect for you, because essentially we have to train the universe how to treat us. That's
mm-hmm.
what I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to treat ourselves the way we want to be treated. Now, we're not talking about people who are in abusive situations.
Oh,
No, because an abusive situation, you definitely don't need to stand up and invite abuse.
No, that's
you need to get out of that.
No, absolutely not. And that's certainly not, you know, it doesn't apply to people who are in abusive situations. That's a different arena altogether.
Mm-hmm,
But in reality, you're still talking about the same kind of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
The circumstances are totally different, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But how sometimes do you end up in a situation like that?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have some really strong beliefs about yourself that you deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not certainly, believe me, I'm not blaming, you know, anybody who's in an abusive situation.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to look at what beliefs drive that,
mm-hmm.
being in those circumstances.
Mm. And it's great when you can start setting those boundaries in the very beginning of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And even a relationship with your children, as you begin to have children, to set boundaries there in terms of things you need to do for yourself versus
Absolutely.
Things you need to do
for them. That's a whole show in itself, that piece. Really, you have to be able to set strong boundaries for yourself. I think it's Maya Angelou says that we teach people how to treat us.
Exactly.
And we really do. If
yes.
they're treating us well, we've taught them to treat us well, because we treat ourselves well.
Right.
If they're
right.
treating us badly sometimes, maybe it's because we're treating ourselves badly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we in turn teach other people how to treat us that way.
And earlier you said that many times we avoid setting boundaries and standing up because we want to avoid confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I think happens when you do begin to stand up for yourself, not in an angry, lashing out way, but just genuinely choosing what is good for you and good for and what you choose to do, I think confrontation gets diminished. The danger of confrontation gets diminished because you're coming at it out of your own self-love and self-care, and so there's no anger in saying no. We're not saying just say no to be a contrarian, just to
not at
argue.
All. And again,
but just say no when, mm-hmm. when you really don't want to do something and it's not good for you.
Right. And again, it goes back to that belief, the message that you have gotten. You know,
mm-hmm.
confrontation gets a bad rap. It's not always, you know, like you said, you have to get angry with people and get all bent out of shape. But it's being strong, assertive, it's standing up for yourself
mm-hmm.
lovingly.
Yeah. When,
and that's a challenge for people, I know.
It is. And it took me a while to really get at that, but many years ago I finally got it. And I put that in my book as one of the key steps to being happy is learn to say yes to yourself and no to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I'm giving a talk, the young people, the teenagers and young adults, typically get it. And they immediately get it. The older, middle-aged and older people kind of pause when I say that because it goes against what they think is the right thing to do, especially, like I say, based on their Christian principles.
Mm-hmm.
But it absolutely is one of the most freeing things in the world, and it does make your life so much better when you select things you want to do. I mean, obviously there are things that we all do that aren't our favorite. I mean, washing dishes isn't my favorite thing to do.
Right.
But I choose to say yes to it because I want the finished product, the finished result.
Exactly.
But when it comes to relationships with other people and tasks, we really do have to take a look at who's benefiting, and there's nothing wrong with helping somebody out.
Oh, absolutely not.
But
absolutely
not if you're being used. That's the tricky part. If you are always saying yes to them, no to yourself, neglecting yourself, what happens is you end up not taking care of your own business.
Exactly.
I got that message loud and clear when I was very concerned and worried about one of my nephews, grandnephew of all things. And these thoughts were going round and round in my head, all concerned about what his mother and grandmother were doing. And finally this voice came to me and said, "Who is taking care of your business?"
Exactly.
And I
exactly.
thought, whoa.
Yeah.
Because if you are caught up in the other person, that means you're neglecting yours.
Yeah. I once heard, I went to a workshop with Ilyanba, I always say that name slowly because I can't pronounce it very well, Benzon. And she's, there's only two kinds of business, your
mm-hmm.
business and God's business.
Mm.
And you need to stay in your lane, in your car, because if you get out of your car, out of your lane, out of your car, you're in somebody else's business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's a dangerous place out there.
It's a very dangerous place. Just imagine standing out on the highway, you know, when you can maybe make a call from your cell phone and not get out of your car and put yourself in danger.
That's right. But the scariest part about it to me is what I just shared in my situation is you're not taking care of your own business.
No.
And that means that, and if you're not taking care of it, trust me, nobody's taking care of it. So that
exactly.
means you're neglecting to do some things in your own life, financial, health, other personal things you need to be taken care of or not getting done. And at some point, that's going to be it's going to backfire on you and damage you or in some way have a negative effect
mm-hmm.
if you're not taking care of it in a timely manner. I mean, there's certain things we have to do every day, certain things we have to do at intervals. And if we're not doing those things for ourselves, then we're asking for some kind of problem down the line.
Yes, absolutely. And they can be real serious problems sometimes. That really will prevent us from living our best lives, from taking that step out to start your own business, from going back to school. In everything, every aspect of your life can be affected
mm-hmm.
by these limiting
mm-hmm.
beliefs.
Mm-hmm. And even into relationships, you know, moving into a positive relationship is something that can be affected if you have beliefs like all men are no good, or all women are no good, or there are no good men left. Those are some seriously limiting beliefs that keep us stuck from moving forward and being open to the good that's out there.
Well, the thing with that, Flora, is this. If you have that kind of belief, there are no good men out there, or, you know, I'm just doomed because there's no point in even trying, what are you going to attract?
Ooh.
What are you going to attract into your life? You're just going to attract more of what you're thinking.
Exactly.
You know?
And I heard Abraham Hicks say on one of the recordings I was listening to, Esther Hicks and Jerry Hicks have, you've heard of Abraham Hicks.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And Abraham said something about the, I lost my thought. Oh, about the importance of being grateful and showing gratitude. In other words, when you show gratitude for the good that's in your life, she says it's like telling the universe, that was good. I'd like to have more of that.
Exactly.
And so the things you're thinking on, those are the things that is asking like a little kid or a person at a meal. Oh, that was delicious. I'd like another helping. I'd like another serving of that. So if we are thinking the negative about men, money, whatever, we're asking for more of that.
More
more of the same. We've got to be very careful with those thoughts because
I work with primarily with women, and I find a lot of times, especially in my therapy practice, women who have that belief that have these certain expectations that stem from a belief. That when I work with couples, they'll say, well, he may think that the wife should do all the cooking, and she may think he should mow the lawn. Well, that's an expectation that has come out of a belief that you've learned somewhere from a message that says men are supposed to do this and women are supposed to do that. And so when they come together, if it's not working the way each one is expecting, then you got problems.
And what's so interesting in relationships, many times couples haven't sat down and discussed these expectations and these things that they have in their heads, and which brings even a bigger problem because now you expect the other person to guess what.
Yes.
You,
and I hear that all the time. Well, she should know what I'm.
He should know
I'm thinking. He should know how. And I always say, okay, how do you think they would know if you don't tell them?
Oh, my goodness.
You see, so it, again, you kind of form a mental picture of how that message has translated down into that deep belief that you have and how it's showing up everywhere in your relationships, on your job. We've all had difficult people on our jobs that we work with.
Yes.
They're operating out of some very negative beliefs sometimes. And they're transmitting that into the workplace.
Whoa. We're nearing the end of today's show.
It went really fast.
I want to urge all of you who have been enlightened, encouraged, and empowered by today's episode to be sure to share with you what you've learned with your family and colleagues. And the recording will be over here on my show page afterwards. In a little while, you'll be able to download it. Today's episode was made possible by the Ideal Client Action Guide, the business tool that helps you discover exactly the right client who needs, wants, and is desperately looking for your service or product. Learn more over at www.idealclientactionguide.com. Thank you so much, Gladys, for sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you, listeners,
and people in the chat room. Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you claim the joy you deserve. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing I ask you to do every week, and that is to have a blessed week And remember to color your life happy.
Color your life happy. Color.